Right, we're going to start just reviewing from the bottom of Lamed Daled Amud Bet. Right, the sugya says Zeh Omer Shelavutai, V'Zeh Omer Shelavutai. Right, each one of them comes with a claim with no evidence. I mean, each one of them makes a claim that it's my item. Ashram points out that it could be a boat, it could be karka, it could be anything that they're making a claim about. Each one of them makes a claim that it belongs to me. So Amar Rav Nachman called the Olim Gavar. So what we discussed yesterday, called the Olim Gavar, right, is the Rashbam says, Ben Brayot, Ben Bekoach, whether it's through proof or through strength, you know, brute strength, he's able to take possession of the item. We explained some of the Svara behind that, that the person would be Moser Nefesh if it's really his. So the Rosh in the beginning of Metzia, and we said that it was somewhat Duyak from the Rashbam over here that sounded like they believe that it ends up with the rightful owner. This is a way to get to a mitzius, that the facts will actually work out, and you'll get to the rightful owner. And you see today that the Rashbam explicitly says otherwise, and we saw that the other Rishonim that believe that this is just a method, Bezin is misalik themselves. They disengage from the case because they can't do anything here. They can't do anything here. This is a methodology for decision-making, but not a methodology for determining who really owns the item. And because Bezin can't do anything, so they don't want to be involved. Because we saw before that if they are toe-faced, if Bezin gets involved, lo mafkina, they can't disengage until they make a decision. And here, where they know up front they can't make a decision, they don't get engaged. And again, we said the exception to that would be Dror de Mamona. If you have a Dror de Mamona, then Bezin would have to get involved, because then right, the case is preceded or has issues that demand an involvement of Beis Din. So we'll see now that the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Nachman from a number of cases where we seem to be at a standstill, and yet the Gemara says that we don't say Kol Dolem Gavra. We have other solutions. So that's the first case. Mishna, Mishtei Shtarot, or Yotzim B'Yom Echad. What do we do with two Shtarot that come out on the same day? I mean that when it comes out on the same day, only in Yerushalayim did they worry about Sha'ot, that they actually mark by hours in the Shtarot. But otherwise, the Shtarot, whenever day was marked in the Shtar, we would consider that they're all to be of equal standing. So you have two people who show up and say, you know, we got a grift from this individual, and he gifted us his land, he gifted us whatever item, and it's written in the Shtar that he gifted us this item. But both Shtarot have the exact same date on them. So they have the same date on them. We don't know what to do. It's equal. So the Rav says, Yechloku, they should split the difference. Why? We have a suffix. Right? So if we have a suffix over here, let's split it. Go 50-50. Shmuel Amar, Shodu Dedaino. It's up to the Dayanim. So we've seen this before. What is Shodu Dedaino? And again, it comes up over here. With Metzmachokis Rashi and Tosafot, how to explain Shodu Dedaino. Here, the Rashbam takes Pshat, or takes the sheet of Rashi as well. And I'll just note to you, it's interesting that Tosus, in a number of places here, quotes Perisha Kuntrus. He keeps quoting Perisha Kuntrus, and it's not clear to me if he's quoting Rashi, because he had a Rashi here in Baba Basra, or he's quoting the Rashbam, who has a similar position to Rashi, and he's quoting him as the Perisha Kuntrus here in the Baba Basra. Right. He does mention the Rabbeinu Shmuel in some instances, but again, I don't know what they had in front of them or what they were looking at. But anyway, the machlokas between Rashi and Tosafot as to what is Shodu Dedaino. Rashi says Shodu Dedaino is that we look and see who the most appropriate individual would be. The Yonim say, was he closer with? Who did he like more? Who does it make more sense that he would have gifted this item to? So we look at other evidence, meaning that we try our best to look at the facts and say, where should it go? That's what Rashi Pshat is. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says, no, Shai the Dedaino is that the Dayan decides. It's up to him. It's not about facts. It's not about the circumstances at hand. It's rather about the Dayan himself. You know, he can make a decision about how to go forward with the case. Now, it does raise an interesting question here. Now, if you have something like Shai the Dedaino, right, which is that the Dayan can make sense, why can't he put it up for bid? I mean, he could say, look, to the two parties, listen, I'm a Dayan, I have to now make a decision between the two of you. So why not, you know what, whoever pays me the most will get the item now. So why can't he do that? Because the determination's in his hands. So he has the right now to make a determination who goes to, and he can sell, in a sense, that right to the highest bidder.
It's not that he does whatever he can flip up.
No, that's the Rashbam. You're right, that's the Rashbam. The Rabbeinu Tam says he can flip a coin. He can basically, it's up to the Dayan himself. And he brings a Rishami that supports his position, and it has to be of Dayan Mumche. He says it has to do it. Those are the qualifications.
Yeah, but if the Dayan actually
knew that the Baal Bais wanted
does
to
know
his first
assumption.
He can't then go and flip a coin.
No, right, but that's it. But Shuddha Dadan is here where we have no evidence. We don't know. We just literally don't know. And one of his proofs is from our case over here. Right? Or just let's answer the first question. Tosu says, even though it's not shochad in a sense because he's not being bribed to make a decision in the case, meaning a base decision on the facts of the case. I mean, it's a decision that is left in his hands of right that's given to him. All right, so very good. So Tosos does say something along Shaul's lines, which is that any dayan who takes money is no longer a dayan. So he can't make the decision anymore, because once he's taken money, he's not a dayan. And that's somewhat what you're saying. The acceptance of money by itself already is mafkiyu from being a dayan. That is shokhad in that sense, and therefore you can't do it. Now the other question is, how could it be that he flips a coin? The Tosos says, I have a proof. I know that my position's right. Why? Because Rashi's position makes sense when you're talking about shtei shtarot that are gifted to individuals. Matana. So we look at the facts and we say, who did he like more? Who would have made more sense that he gave it to? But why are they bringing the case? They're questioning the case of Rav Nachman. What's the case of Rav Nachman? Zero mer shel avotai. The zero mer shel avotai. Over there, how did they show up and he go, what? Oh. They don't have that option to say, who would he have given? Why does it make more sense that individual has it? So that's why it doesn't say, I'm telling you, that it has nothing to do with the facts in the case. It has to do with solely with the discretion of the dayan. Now he says,
so the Gemara says, what's the difference between...
Right, the fact that the Gemara is willing to say that the Rav and Shmuel's din should apply by Zerom HaShabbatai means that they think Shoda the dayan is applicable over there. Now, Tosu says, but dochak, you can explain. I don't think it's so dochak. I think you would explain.
Depend on what the
Gemara answer is? Right. Yeah, it will depend on the answer of the Gemara, but... right now, the Tosafot gives a dochak answer. Rashi, I don't think it's so dochak. He says that the dayanim will look and they will see who it makes more sense that it would have belonged to. Meaning that who is more truthful in their claim over here. They're both bringing a claim. They're both trying to establish their ownership over it. So that, right, who has more credibility in the case. Meaning that you could come up with different... Dayanim have the ability to ask questions. You can ask questions of the litigants, and you can try to come to a conclusion based on the information that's in front of you. So that's what Rashi is going to have to say. Rashi is going to have to say, in every case, there are when we don't have absolute facts or absolute evidence, there's still ways to determine. Right? Maybe one makes more sense than the other side, and that'll be shoulder to Dayanim. Again, Tosus, the Rabbeinu Tam says simply that, again, you can read it in the Tosus here, shoulder to Dayanim, and the other Rabbeinu Tam, lemi shirtzea dayan yitain. Whatever the dayan wants to give to, he may give it. Of the dayan. It has nothing to do with the facts of the case anymore. It has nothing to do with the litigants. It has to do with the dayan. Solely up to the discretion of the dayan. Now, the Gemara says, what's the difference? I mean, here you have a case of safek. Rav Nachman has a case of safek. Rav Nachman says the solution to safek is called the olam gava. Over here, we have this two other possibilities of solutions to the case. It's Rav Amar Yochloku and Shmuel Amar Shuddha Dedayin. Now, the difference between Rav and Shmuel, Rav says, okay, we have a suffix, just split it, what can we do? Shmuel says, listen, what are you going to end up? There is no chance you're going to get the right answer. That's what should, right? There is no way.
Somebody who doesn't deserve something.
Right. The person who really owns it is going to lose, and whoever didn't deserve it is going to get a part of it. Shmuel says if you pay the whole amount to one of the individuals, there's a 50-50 shot that you got it right. I mean, there's a possibility that you'll get it entirely right. So there it makes more sense. He says, Yochloko will never end up with the resolution that we want.
Well, and so, I think to myself, that maybe Shmuel's question is going to what you just said now. If we're both going to show that could the dayanim decide to give to the split?
But no, that sounds like not. That the whole idea of Shuddha Dedayin is that we're trying to get it to one of the litigants of party.
We don't know. We have no evidence on that. We just split it.
I would say, no, only because he's as opposed to Rav, which I think his whole position is premised on the fact that we're trying to get to a resolution that is true. And because of that, we want to give it entirely to one party. So the Gemara says, we can differentiate. Hotam leka mekam ale demilto. Hocha ika the mekam ale demilto. Right, the difference between the cases is, over there, right, let's start with over here, right, that in one place is a possibility of reaching a conclusion, and there are a possible answer, and in one place there is no, right, way to reach a conclusion or to get to the din. Right, so that's it. If you see over here, for instance, the Rambam says, "Machar shenichtavu biyom echad." You have the two contracts that were written in one day. Mistama gam biyom echad nimsiru. So they were both given on the same day. Ve'ein levarer the olam adin in me. There's no way that we're ever going to know the truth here. So therefore, mishtadlin beiz de medina medana noto. Right. So in the case of these, if that instance of the case where it's the gift of the matana, there is no way in the end to ever even vayrer what happened.
They have a notion.
Well, he's gone. He's obviously gone. The note matana is gone here. He's dead. He's gone. Whatever it is, he's overseas. There's no way. Obviously, if you could ask him, then
this. All
right, good. When he comes, he comes back. So must nishtar. Right, it's gone. There's no.
No one sees.
Right, there's no edim. The fact there, there's no edim. Nobody has evidence. So all you have is a contract dated on the same day. There's going to be no way that you can ever be mevarer the case. The case is a locked case like that, and therefore the dayanim have to get involved and just deal with it. Whereas in our case over here, right, shema yavo edim v'isachua tadin. This is what the Rosh Hashanah says. Maybe eventually the edim will show up, and then they will undermine the decision of Beis Din at this point. Shadon Beis Din. Hilkach, so listen to this lesson in Ashbam, and you'll tell me which side of Alim Gover he believes. He says, Hilkach, Ein Beis Din Nizkakim Lahem Ladun Din, Shesof Lodo Lidei Ivut. You do not get engaged, right, in a din that might end up being wrong in the end, or coming to a mistake. Elamei Nichin Otan. We leave it. We, what? Disengage. Until Edim show up and clarify the case. So it's clear here, the Rosh Hashanah is explicit about his view of what Kol Dolim Gavar is. Kol Dolim Gavar is a complete disengagement by Beis Din. Why? Because the decision of Beis Din has no value over here. They have no evidence, they have no information, and they're not going to make the decision. The problem is that information could show up, and information could come that would change the standing of the case. So Beis Din doesn't want to get engaged in a situation where their whole decision is premised on, we'll say right now, very precarious situation, and then have someone else come back with the facts and undermine the psak of Beis Din. Whereas in the case of the contract, the case of the matana over there, yes, there is a safek, but the safek will always remain a safek, and therefore whatever solution Beis Din comes up with will stand, because they will never be undermined. I mean, assuming that there's no, that the contracts are not forged, and so on and so forth. But the understanding there is that it's a safek that is permanent, safek that will never be resolved, there will be no resolution to it, so therefore Beis Din gets involved to be almost like an arbitrator, right? To arbitrate and to deal with the situation. Whereas in a case where Beis Din is getting involved as an arbitrator, where later on evidence could come out that would undermine their arbitration or change the whole situation, Beis Din says, better that we disengaged over here. B'chol d'olam gavar. So you see from here that the Rosh Hashanah believes the chol d'olam gavar is clearly a disengagement of Beis Din, and not a decision of the mitziyut. It's not creating a mitziyut on the ground, but rather a disengagement, saying this is the way we're going to decide. It's a procedural issue. You guys figure it out for right now. If we get evidence, we'll get involved with the case over here.
The case is not closed.
Right. The case is not closed because Edim could come, something could happen that would actually bring the case to court at that point in time. If you believe that the whole point of Olam Gavar is disengagement to Beis Din, that by definition means that, right, once there is evidence and Beis Din does get engaged, right, then the case will be continued. Whereas if you feel that it's a mitzius, it determines the mitzius from then on, then it's harder for Beis Din to get involved at a later date. Now, the Gemara says...
We had the question of whether Beis Din would reverse the decision that they made. Do we worry about the
Zilus of the Beis Din? I agree that even according to the Mandamar that you say that we don't worry about Zilus of the Beis Din here would worry about it because of the circumstances.
So likely that
The overwhelming evidence is in the favor of the fact that Beis Din will be undermined in this situation, or they're making a decision without facts. Right, so now the Gemara says, why is Rav Nachman's decision different than the case we had, the submission we had in Bava Kamma? Tznan, Hamachli Para B'Chamor. A person who does a Kinyan Chalipin between a Para and a Chamor, he has to do a Kinyan Chalipin over here. Why? Because Kinyan Mamon does not work, right? Because Mamon's not nikneh except with Meshicha. So then if it is a Meshicha, you'd know the answer to the question over here. That's one. Right? And if it was a Kinyan Meshicha, right, then again, you'd know the answer. So the reason they have to use Kinyan Chalipin here is because that's what creates the uncertainty in the case. So Machlip Rabbi Chamor, so what happens? The person who's buying the Chamor goes in and makes a Kinyan on the Chamor. That means automatically the Para comes into possession of the owner of the Chamor. I mean, the exchange takes place through that Meshicha, that's the Kinyan Chalipin. But what happened is the Para V'yalda. The Para was pregnant and it gave birth. What we are unsure about is, did the Para give birth prior to the Kinyan Chalipin or after the Kinyan Chalipin? Chain ha-mocher shivchato. Now by shivchato, it doesn't say machlif because it says mocher. Why? Because a shivcha is like karka, is a din of real property, and there can be Kinyan by, right, kesef, shtar, v'chazaka. But so kesef, you could have a Kinyan kesef where the shivcha is not present. at the point of the kinyan. So over there, the uncertainty can come even in the form of kinyan by kinyan kesef. So Mechesha Dabi Alda, and she gives birth. Right, so again, she was pregnant, gave birth. We're not certain if she gave birth prior to the kinyan or after the kinyan. So here we have a sefek. Zilmer Achalom Acharti Yalda. This one says, before I sold it, the birth took place, so therefore the vlad is mine. Zilmer Mishalach Kachti Yalda. And the other one says, no, after the kinyan, after the execution of the kinyan, that's when they gave birth, and it's all mine. So Yachloku, they split it. So again, why over here? Again, why do we have a psak of Yachloku versus in the case of Rav Nachman, right, which says the Olam Gavar? So if you deal with cases which are Sfeikot, and you think the solution to Sfeikot are called the Olam Gavar, why all of a sudden over here, there's a Mishnah Baba Kama that says that there's a Sfeik here, all of a sudden Yachloku. Right now, the Tosfos brings, there was a Girsa, or I'm sorry, the Rashi brings a Girsa that thought that this question was really a question on Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel's position. Why does the Mishnah say Yachloku? Right before, and Shmuel said before, Shudda the dining. Right, so the Rashbam rejects that explanation. That's the flow of the Gemara. He says the Gemara doesn't say such a thing in general, because the Gemara, when it flows in this way, is asking series of questions on the original statement. They don't take a diversion all of a sudden start asking. What they'll do is they'll amamar, they'll come back to it afterwards. So a flow of the Gemara, when it flows with questions like this, is always referencing back to the original point. So he says it's a problem for Rav Nachman, it's not an issue here of a question on Shmuel. And again, you could argue over here that Shudda D'Dayna is not relevant over here. That's why Shmuel would even agree maybe to Rav's position, because here it's not Shudda D'Dayna, because there's no, especially according to the way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains it, we look at where the evidence is. Over here, it's clear that the Safek is beyond the realm of, it's not a question of who gave or what gave. It's a simple question of timing. And we just don't know. And there's no way anybody has information about this. It's information that we'll never have. So the Gemara says, "Hotam lahai itlay dror demoma, or lahai itlay dror demoma." Over there in the case in Baba Kama, each one of them has dror demomona, which we'll have to explain in a second. Hocha idemar lo demar, idemar lo demar. So the difference between the cases is what the circumstances are. Meaning that in the case when we're talking about the case of the boat, right? When they come to the case of the boat, there's only one owner here, right? There's either, right, he owns it and the other individual doesn't own it, or party two owns it and party one does not own it. So again, the solution of Yachloku is not a real solution, because there is, you end up with nobody having, right, any benefit, or nobody having any solution come about, because one party owns it, one doesn't, and by splitting it, you're ensuring that nobody gets what they deserve. Whereas in our case of the para and the case of the shivcha, over there, each one of them has a connection to the item. Now Rashi, if you remember, Rashi in Bilba Metzia says, dror de mamona means chisaron kis, right, a loss, monetary loss. Tosfos here repeats his opinion that he says in Bilba Metzia. What is dror de mamona? Dror de mamona is that the safek exists without the litigants. The safek would exist without the two parties showing up in Beis Din. So over here, by the case of the boat, right, you don't, the safek is generated by the claims of the two individuals. There is no safek until the two individuals show up in Beis Din. That is why there's no dror de mamona. On the other hand, in the case of the para, in the case of the shivcha, the safek exists without the litigants. We just don't know in whose possession the vlad was born. And the Gemara asks, remember, if you remember, Baba Kama, the Gemara asks, let's look whose property it was born in. So the Gemara says that ba'omedet ba'gam, right, that the animal is standing in a place which is not owned by either party. So there's no evidence, and it's a complete suffix as to what the outcome of this case is. When you have a complete suffix, a suffix that exists without the litigants, right, that's called dror de mamona. So that's what Tosa says over here, and then obviously Rashi will have to say this, chisaron kis, but the idea is that the suffix that exists or surrounds the paran, the shivcha, is a suffix that is real, according to Tosfos, that exists without coming to court, and therefore the splitting of it is an equitable solution, because we're just not going to know, and really each party has a valid claim over here to the property. Supposed to the boat, where it's only one party owns the boat. And Yachloku is not an equitable solution to the two parties, because we want to end up with one person owning the boat who is the rightful owner. So we say, Cholim Gover. Either Bezin disengages and says we can't decide in this case, or Cholim Gover, we hope that Olim Gover is going to get us to the right solution, that we're going to end up with the rightful owner getting to the item. So that's the difference in the cases, and that difference in the cases is going to generate, right, a difference in outcome, or the way the Beis Din deals with such a situation. Now again, that is why when there's a drara de mamona, Beis Din gets engaged. Right? I mean, as opposed to where there's no drara de mamona, where there's no drara de mamona, Beis Din disengages because they have nothing to do. Whereas when there's a drara de mamona, according to Tosu, who says the safek existed prior to this, Rashi says it's a chison kiss, Beis Din gets engaged because there, or in this situation, Beis Din has something to do. Right, they're going to yachloku. They're going to split the money, or they're going to try to come up with some equitable solution, because both parties have some connection to this item and have some real claim here. And so, therefore, the yachloku is an involvement of Beis Din, and they're going to make that decision. As opposed to in a case where there's no drara de mamona, there's no need or no reason for Beis Din to get involved. There, they are going to remain disengaged from such a case. So now, next case, Amrei Dardai, and I say, Imba Achad Men Ashuk. So now, this is the same case of Zeh Omer Shalabatai, Zeh Omer Shalabatai. So let's call it a boat. A boat. Two people claim that it's my boat. Then all of a sudden, a third guy shows up and sells off the boat. He says, while they're arguing about it, it's my boat. And he sails off with the boat. So Amar Nardai, in Ba'achad Min Ashuk, the third party shows up, Vechzipa, and he takes off with the boat. Ein Motzino Tomi Yado. We don't remove it from his hand. That's it. He has it. Right? So we have to explain why. We have to explain why. It's the Tani, Chia, Gazlan, Shel Rabim, Lav Shmei Gazlan. Someone who is a thief, who takes is from the Rabim, a theft, or is a thief from the public at large, is not called a Gazlan. So it here means that, you have to explain what that means, that he's not classified as a Gazlan here, it's Lav Shmei Gazlan. Meaning that the way they're Ashbam, and many of the Rishonim explain, is that Beis Din can't adjudicate in this case. They can't go after the litigants. There is no real litigant to go after him because it belongs to multiple parties. It's the equivalent of mamon she'ein lo tovin. It's money that has no claimant, because the defendant in this case, the third party who came and took it, can always say to you, "Listen, you're not la bal devarim didiat. You are not my right. You're not the owner. Since you're not the owner, you're not the one who can make the claim here." So what would be the easiest way to solve that problem? All right, the easiest way to solve that problem is something called a harsha. Harsha is the equivalent of a power of attorney. And in a power of attorney, you could create a single claimant in this case. So therefore, it comes out there are actually three ways to explain this Gemara, three ways to understand why the Gezel Derabim is not classified as a Gazlan, why we can't go and be mafkiyah from him.
He is a Gazlan. Rav Ishmael, of course he's a Gazlan.
That's according to the Rashbam. That's according to like others, Rashba, Tosfos, yes.
According to someone.
Right. So according to the Ritvos, I was just about to explain to you that there are three ways to explain this. The Ritvo explains this, that the item is really Hefker. There are two people who are arguing about it. We don't really know if either of them owns it, or we don't even know who owns it. The third party comes up and he takes it off with it. And he says, I own it, or it's mine. So over there, Beis Din says, listen, he may not be a Gazlan, because it may not belong to even the two litigants who are fighting about it. It may belong to someone else entirely. So we say to him, you know, Beis Din says, I can't take it away from the third party, but...
Or
may it seemingly Hefker? Right. Oh, it's seemingly Hefker over there. The Ritva says that... Right. The Ritva says that he may not use it. The third party who took it does not have to return it, but he may not use it, because it may not be his either. It may belong to some other Baalim somewhere else. So right, maybe it's Hefker, but maybe it belongs to a third party, none of the litigants here. So Beis Din can't extract it or take it back from him, right? But he can't use it. That's your question. He still is a Gazlan. If he uses it, he's a Gazlan. On the other hand, if he just leaves it, right, and he just leaves it on the side, says, I can't return it because I don't know who to return it to, but I don't get involved. So in that case, that's what the Ritva says the solution is.
But there's a difference between Rabim and the case here with the ship.
Okay, good question. Right. Yeah. So very good. So that's what Tosfos asks over here. And many of the other Rishonim say, listen, this is a very limited case. There are two litigants over here. Why can't we solve the problem? Write a harsha. The two litigants will write to each other harsha. They'll give power of attorney to each other. And therefore, one of them can show up in court and say, listen, it's I'm here on behalf of the two of us. And one of the two of us owns this boat. And here, now you can't claim blah, 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 because I'm coming in the power of both of us. The Tosfos and the other Rishonim believe that the Rashba is explicit about it. That's Mamon She'im Botovin. That it's really, it's a two litigants that are coming, that they really own it, but they can't come and be Tovea from him. So then Tosfos says, why? What's the problem here? So he says, Afilu Kadvash Arsha Zelazeh, Hol V'Rasha'im Heim, Inis Kakim Lehem. Because they're Rishaim, we don't listen to them. What do you mean they're Rishaim here? You have two litigants that show up as a case, they want to, right, they want to collect their, they want to come and collect their boat. They're Rishaim. Why are there Rishaim over here? What's the problem over here? So my brother-in-law suggested, very nice, that the Mishnah Navot. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Avot, the first parak, that says, right, by Yehuda ben Tabai, that Kishnei Bali Dinim Umdim Lefanecha, and to Agam, Yubenecha Ki Rishaim. Right, so that once when two litigants come before you, they should be viewed in your eyes as Rishaim. So the first, the Tosfos Yom Tov over there explains, the first explanation of what Rishaim is, because it's from the perspective of the Dayan. Dayan should look at them,
right.
Exactly. Suspect, be skeptical. It's not a shame being assigned to the Balei Din. It's from the side of Dayan that he's got to be skeptical with them. Then the Tosfos Yom Tov brings the second shot. He says, V'yesh Omrim, or Yes Mefarshim, that Rishaim refers to the Balei Din. That the Balei Din, the fact that they have such a machlokas, and this machlokas ends up in Beis Din, they are Rishaim. And they are Rishaim. He says that we see that from the Gemara in Shavuos, that when it comes to taking a Shavuah, even though the one party who takes the Shavuah is the one who's going to take the Shavuah Sheker, but he says that the Gemara says in Shavuot that the responsibility devolves upon both parties. That even the party who caused them to make a Shavuah Sheker is also responsible, and he takes some of the guilt belongs to him. And some of that problem and some of that hate belongs to him. And he says that's true in every case. Any case we have two litigants show up in Beis Din, right, and they're arguing, and they went so far to argue, and they have to come to Beis Din, that they both bear the responsibility of the Ramai, of whoever is cheating over here, and that's why they're classified as Rishaim. So that's one possibility we had explained to us. What does it mean that they're both Rishaim? The fact that they're in Beis Din right now classifies them as Rishaim, and therefore they don't have rights. The other suggestion is what I thought, and I found it later, the Chasam Sofer says, is that Hashoah is a Takana. Hashoah is a Takana's Chachamim in order to allow someone to extract money. And the Chasam Sofer says that the Takana's Chachamim was not made for Ramayim. It's not made for thieves. It's not made for people who are, right, lying. And we know for certain in this case, at least one party is a liar. Right? For certain, one of them is a Ramai over here. So we're not going to allow a Hashoah to work in this case, because it's a Tekanas Chachamim that is made to go our, right, people who have in an issue, in a situation where they can't extract money, even though they are the rightful owner of it. We allow our Hashoah to be used as a Tekanas Chachamim to improve the situation. But we're not going to allow is our Hashoah to be used in a situation where one, we have a Vadai Ramai. We have one thief, one person who's clearly lying over here, maybe both, but at least one is for certain lying. If one of them is for certain lying, we're not going to allow our Hashoah to be ridden in this case, because that's not what the Tekanas Chachamim was built around. And because of that, it becomes, it remains, Mamon She'ein Lo Tovin. So that's the two ways to explain what it tells us, why the Rishaim is.
You could take that even one step further. If one of them is clearly lying, then the other one is collaborating with the divinity, except for Hashem.
Right, that he allows. He allows, right, he allows the case to go forward with this Ramai, right? So he's now, right, very good. He becomes a collaborator with the Ramai and doing the Harsha. Very nice. All right, so that's it. The three big ways, three ways to explain it of why this is not considered Gezel Derabim. One is the Ritva, which is that it's like a Cholstra, a Hefker, that it's open. How do you know any of the parties are here own this? And so therefore, he's no different. The third party is no different than the first two parties in this case. So Beis is not going to go and take it away from him. The other possibility is Tosfos. Tosfos says that it's Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim. The Rashba is the most explicit about that. This is Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim because they can't say, Baal Devirim At. He can't make, every time he goes to go to court with them, and say, you're not the rightful owner. Bring the rightful owner here. So Tosfos' solution is, why don't we do our Shah? Tosfos says the Rishaim. We gave two explanations as to why the Rishaim. Tosfos Yom Tov, the Mishnah in Avot, that Balei Din are Kirishaim. Or the other possibility, the Chasam Sofer, that our Shah is not Metukan in the cases where you have a Ramai in the case. Right now, Rav Ashi says, I don't agree with you. I think you're misinterpreting the statement of Rav Chiya. Rav Ashi Maramar Di Olam Shmei Gazlan. He is called a Gazlan in this case. Someone who steals in this case is called a Gazlan. Umay Lo Shmei Gazlan. So then what's the statement of Rav Chiya? It says, a Gazlan Shel Rabim La Shmei Gazlan. Shno Nitan Lehi Shavon. You can never return it. Because a Gezel Derabim, there's no way to return Gezel Derabim. So now this also turns out to be a Machlokes Rishonim, a three-way Machlokes Rishonim. How to explain the case? The Rashbam explains the case that this is just like we said by Dayanim, by a Beis Din. When you have a Beis Din who comes and gets involved in the case, and they're tofes the item, when we say tofes, lo mafkinan. Beis Din is not allowed to throw it back out. So in the case of the boat, right, where there were two people make a claim in the boat, Beis Din comes, sees that the one says, I have evidence, I have Eidim, so they tofes it. Then in the end, he doesn't bring any Eidim. So what was this? What should he do? They should if they throw it back out, it's a chol d'olam gavar. Over there, we said the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the way we pass it, is lo mafkinan. We do not allow Beis Din to throw it back out, because once Beis Din is involved, they must come to a conclusion, they must find out who the rightful owner is. You can't just take something and throw it back out there to the wolves or make it a jump ball, right, once you've engaged. So Rashbam claims that's the same thing over here. Here the individual took something, right, and now what does he want to do? He wants to throw it back out and say, you two figure it out? That's not, he calls Heshavon. That's not the returning of an item. You want to return an item, you have to give it back to its owner. Over here, by throwing it and saying, behold, olam govar, that is not a return of the item. And therefore, you can't. We tell you, don't give it back, because that is not the heshivat gzeila asher gazal. By simply dropping it in front of them, you have not accomplished heshivat gzeila asher gazal. And he says, he compares it to a case, similar case where someone steals from the rabbim, right, when he has, for instance, false weights. And people have come to his store for many years and he's used false weights. So he's cheated people over years. He has no way of knowing how to return it. That is something shano nitan lehishabon. Something you can never return. It's impossible to know who the rightful owners are. And that's what the Rashbam claims the case is over here. That you are no way to determine the rightful owner. And it's not kol hashava until you give it to the rightful owner. And so too, just like by Beis Din, we don't allow him to be mafkia and just throw it back out. So too over here, we don't allow this person to just throw it out back to the two parties and say, you figure it out. Right, and this is clearly the shitas harashbam, right, that when you have mafkia, we say that Beis Din, or when you're talking about these cases, they have disengagement. Beis Din doesn't get involved in cases where they can't come to a conclusion. They disengage. So also over here, disengagement is not a solution to the problem over here. It doesn't, just because the chod olam gavar doesn't mean it's going to end up with the rightful owner. Right? Chod olam gavar is a procedural issue. It's not a determinant of who the real owner is, and that's not called veshivit gzeila asher gazal. That's the Rashbam's explanation. Tosfot, right, he says, there's a case in Baba Kama that we had, we brought us in Baba Metzia. If a person steals from one of five people, right, he says, the Chamisha b'nei Adam, he steals from them, and he says, what? Right, a chad mechem, gazalte, I stole from one of you, and he doesn't know who to give it back. So then, what does Rabbi Akiva say over there? After all five of them, let's say it, yidei shamayim. Right, so that's the answer. So, it's a Tosa says, that it's the lo sagi b'shava achat, kamo l'shar gazlan. That you can't be, the solution to the problem is not just to throw it back out. You have to hand it to each individual. And just like by the case in Baba Kama, where it's Echad Mechamisha, over there, right, he has to give to each individual, so it's over here. He says that, but then he says the kuntrus, perush, which also the Rashbam brings down. It's interesting. Again, the kuntrus, he brings down. So talking about a storekeeper who sold with with improper weights. So he says, despite the fact that the Gemara over there does give a solution. What does the Gemara say? Do tzachet tzibur. Take the money and do tzachet tzibur with it. Despite the fact, it says, Hai lov hashava mal yasahi. That's not a real returning of the money. So it's not classified as a returning. So the Tosfot says, brings in an additional case of Chamisha Achad Mechamisha Bnei Adam. And Chamisha Adam, Rabbi Kiva says, the only way to solve your problem is to give it to every individual. If you give it to every individual, then you solved your problem, because that is how you'll say Yudei Shemaim. That's how you have a Shivet Zela Asher Gazal. And if you want to do that here too, I guess you have to give it. If you want to give it to both parties, then you will have a Shivet Zela Asher Gazal, although here it seems to be a lot more expensive for him to have such a solution. And therefore, right, we leave it, he's a Gazlan, and he has no way to solve the issue or solve the problem that he's faced with over here. The Ramban, in this case, suggests, no, he says, I don't understand. He says, Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel, who is the Rashbam, right? Shim Tafas Mishnayim, right? He takes from two of them, it's him, Zebizel Merchel, but I have Zemesh Adai, Lo Miftar Bahashava, Deinu Yodela Mileyashiv, Beinu Shai the Hafkida, Kara Hafkira, he can't throw it out to them. Because of the case, like just like if Tafsina, Lo Mafkidi, right? Lo Mafkina. Once Bezin takes over, you can't do it. He says, Velo Mirali. Ramban says, that doesn't make sense to me. Shalom Ru Lomafkina, like a Sheba should based in. That's a din in Beis Din. Beis Din, when it's in Rishus Beis Din, they can't throw something out until they, what's the point of a Beis Din? A Beis Din is a machriya. A Beis Din is a a body that is supposed to come to resolution and to solutions. So your Beis Din can't just throw it back out to the parties and say, you figure it out. That's an obligation on Beis Din. But that's not true of an individual. A person who is tofes something b'gzeila, what he has to do is be motziya amir shuto. He has to take it out of his possession. V'lo domi legezel me'achad mechamisha. So Ramban is obviously here going against whom? Tosfos. Tosfos compares it to the case of Chamisha. He says it's different. How come in the case of Gezel Achad Mechamisha, Rabbi Akiva says you have to return it to all five of them? And over here, the Ramban's willing to have you throw it back out as a jump ball. He says it's very different. Why? Because in the case of Achad Mechamisha, when you stole it from someone who was a rightful owner and a known owner of the item. In that you stole from, you don't know who you stole it from, but you stole it from someone who was knew who they were the owner of the item. There's no safek in the balut when you stole it. So if you steal in a case where there's no safek in the balut, the only way for you to rectify the situation is to return it to some baal. Not just to throw it out between them, you have to return it to each individual so you get back the rightful owner. But over here, when he stole it, right, he stole it in an unclear situation. He stole it in a situation where the owner was unclear. So all he has to do is return it, right, to the situation or the circumstance it was in before. And that would be Vesivit Exila Asher Gazal. He says we have the same thing. He says by Aveda. If a person says by an Aveda that is not known or there's no evidence as to who the Balim are, you're not allowed to pick it up. Because if you pick it up, you're actually going to cause a problem for the balim, because you can't. And once you pick it up, you can't go back and throw it out there. Because the problem is, over there, so Ramban says, that goes against what I just said. Over there, we don't know who the balim are. You picked it up wrongly, and now we don't let you put it back. Why not? It should be exactly like our case. So there he says there's a problem. What's the problem? Then in the interim, that's what the Gemara says, over in the interim, the balim might have come and searched for it, and it wasn't there when you picked it up. And now they're miyayish, and they're not going to come back. So there you're going to cause a loss of money because you took it, you might have changed the circumstance. Because of that, you're not allowed to return it. But Eino Chanami, and that's what the Ramban says, if you pick it up, you can put it down right away. If you pick it up, and you don't walk away from there, and you put it back down, that is okay. Because that is Eishiv, Beta Veda, right? Or Eishiv Eta Gzela. You've put the item back into the situation it was before. You have not changed the status of the item. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban argues over here. He says, no, our case is Eomer Shabbatai, you can be. Give it back. What is Nolitan Hashiv? That's a case like a case of where you steal from the public at large. The case where you steal from the public at large, right over there, you stole from Balim that are known. You stole from people who own the money and own the item, and now you really cannot give it back because you have no way of returning it to each individual item. So that's a case that we're talking about here in Ravashi. That's a case where there's no litan leshavon. You can never give it back because you can't get it back to the owners. So you have three different cases according to Ramban. You have a case of Echad Mechamisha. There's a rightful owner, and you have a way to rectify it because you know the five people, and you can give it to one of those five people, and you solve your problem. Our case over here, where there's no balut beforehand, the hashava is to give it back to the circumstance it was in before. Place it between them like it was before. That's a shivat gzeila. Third case is the case of what? Of the case of the chenvani. Over there, you steal from rightful owners, you steal from clear ownership, and you have no way of returning it because you can't go and return it to everybody. And even if you do the rabim, you give it back to tzarchei tzibor. It's a nice, but that's not real hashivat gzeila asher gazal. It's the right thing to do, but it still doesn't solve your problem. Right. So here, the Ramban separates what the Rashbam and then Tosfos try to connect.
Has the Ramban learned the flow of the case earlier? And then Ardai, what's the case for
that? In Ardai, you're addressing the case of Zeh Mo'evatai, Zeh Mo'evatai. Then Rav Asher comes, you misunderstood Rabbi Chia, and that's, Rabbi Chia is not the Kula, but the Chumra. Rabbi Chia says, it's not about our case at all. It's a case where, Lo Nitan Lehishavon, it's not about, they give you a Gezel Rabim, and you have no way of knowing who to give it back to. In that case, right, you are a Gazlan forever, and Lo Nitan Lehishavon, you don't have a classification as a Gazlan, because you can't do, V'etisiv V'etagzela Asher Gazal. So he says, Rabbi Chia is not addressing our case whatsoever. It's a totally different case, and it's L'chumra, not L'kula. Right, so that's the Ramban. As opposed to the Rashbam and the Tosfos, who keep trying to add more cases in to be all similar, the Ramban separates out into three different categories the cases of Yeshiva Tegzila Asher Gazal. Back to, now that's the end of what the Yeshivas, you know, go through, all the Chakiras and all the good stuff. Here, now we're back to core Cheskas Abatim. Alright, so here it says, we said that it's Cheskas Shloshanim, that the Chazaka that you establish is for 3 years, if a person's there for 3 years. So now we have exceptions. Amri Yav Abba, Yidali Le Ihu Gufei Tzina De Peri Le Altar Avi Chazaka. If a person makes a claim and he says, look, this is my land because I bought it from you, and I'm living in the land, I'm using the fruits. If the person who is the claims to be the owner, who he says was stolen from him, if he goes in and works alongside of the new owner, of the buyer, and he helps him start to take payroll out of the property, then it's clear you don't even have to wait 3 years. That's a chazaka right away. Why? The fact that he's not mocheh. The fact that he's willing to help this individual steal his own fruits, right? That's already an indication then what? That he doesn't own the property. Because if he owned the property, he wouldn't have been helping out over here. So that's a chazaka la'alter.
That's a proof that he didn't just sell him the payroll.
So Amar of Zvid, Vimtan, Vamar, the payroll, Torah, Tiv, Ne'ma. If the individual says, listen, I sold them the fruit, I sold them the production of the field. If he says that, then there's no chazakah. Because until, that's v'hanimila b'tok shalosh. That's only within the first 3 years. But about achat shalosh lo. I mean, if he leaves it there, even if he sold them for production, right, if it's after 3 years, that 3 years will establish a chazakah on the land, and he can no longer say, I gave it to you just for the production. Then he can say, I own the land. But if he helps him out, take out the fruits, and he says, I sold it to him for the fruits, that's a valid claim, and that doesn't establish that he's not being mocheh. Because he doesn't need to be mocheh. He says, I'm helping him do what I sold to him. Now, Amalei Ravashi Lukvana, Ila Peire Achte, Mahavalei Mevad. So that's the Shaul's question. If you sold it for production, how do you ever have a mocheh? How do you make a macha over here? Because, what is he going to say? It's not your fruit? Or the way it says, what do we think of a macha? Macha is that you're a thief. You're not in my property, you're a thief. But this guy's not a thief. He's entitled to production, he's working there. How does he establish a macha? He should have said something. He should have said, get two witnesses, tell him, listen, this guy is entitled to the, within the first 3 years, this guy is entitled to, I sold him the production, I did not sell him the land. And that would be a macha. He has to make such a macha. If you don't say this, haini mashkanta desura. Right, mashkanta desura, which we had in Boba Metzira, it's a tekanas chachamim, that it's not a problem of ribis, which is what, if you lend someone money, they give you the land for a fixed period of time, you're entitled to eat the production for that fixed period of time. At the end of that period, the land goes back to the debtor. Why is that allowed? Because you get a fixed, you get the production of the field each year, no matter how big it is, whether it's a zero or whether it's more than what the man, the person owes you, you get it. So you have risk to both sides. It's an upside risk and downside risk, and therefore it's not a problem of ribit. What's the problem here? Mashkanta sura goes on for 10 years. Here is a creditor. He took that as a mashkon. He's in the land now. And here, now 10 years later, he says, you know what? He takes the shtar, rips it up, and says, it's my land. I lived here for 10 years, and I have a chazak on the land. I don't need a shtar anymore. So how could the chamim establish such a how could they establish such a takana if there was no way that the debtor could ever protect himself from losing the property? What's a mashkanta surah? Says at the end of this fixed period of time, tipok arad la below b'kesef. Right, it'll go out without any money. If he just, you know, covers up the shtar, he rips up the shtar, all he has to say is, I bought the land, and I... How can I be the mammon? You're going to say that he's believed because he lived there shnei chazakah. So metakne rabbon immediately the atabili b'seida. The rabbon would be metaking a mashkanta to surah, which would end up causing the debtor to lose the land entirely. No way. Elibayle the mchuye. The debtor has to go up and establish no that this is a mashkanta to surah. No, it's a mashkanta surah. If he just does that within the first 3 years, he's done fine. He's done the macha, and then there's nothing to talk about. Then the other individual has to hold the shtar, because there was a macha out there. That we do. Macha is not simply saying, you stole the property. It's not yours. Get out of the property. But macha is also, if he tells him, listen, you have it for production. You have it as a mashkanta de surah. You didn't buy the land. That's also considered a macha. Even when you do a partial macha, you say it is his for this, but not for this. That's a macha, and you have to do that in order to protect your rights on the land. If you don't, you've lost the land. You caused yourself the pseda. You caused yourself the loss. So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Israel, ba machmat akum, harehu ka akum. If an individual comes, when it comes to a chazakah, he says, listen, this non-Jew bought the land from you, and I bought it from the non-Jew. The third party, so Reuven has land, right? Tony came and bought the land from Reuven, and then Shimon bought it from Tony. So Shimon says, listen, Tony bought the land from you, Reuven, and I bought it from Tony, so it's my land now. So he says, wait, can an Akum establish chazakah over a land? The answer is no. An Akum cannot establish chazakah. Why? Ma Akum in lo chazakah lo b'shtar. Af Yisrael ba machmar Akum in lo chazakah lo b'shtar. Just like an Akum that has no... it has no ownership over a property without a shtar, so too, the person who's trying to buy the property, saying that it was bought by this akum from someone else, he also cannot buy it. Why does an akum not have a shtar? So that the Rashbam explains, the stam akum gazlanim heim, v'yisrael yarei limchot. That the stam, they're anusim, right? They come and they steal the property, or they do it by force. It was a common occurrence in the Middle Ages, probably back in time the Gemara also, that the Jews were forced off their property, and they was taken by the authorities, or by the government, or the residents, and they forced the other people off their property. And now the other Jew, he can't do a macha because he's too scared to do a macha. They're going to kill him if he does a macha over here. So Chachamim did not say chazaka works instead of shtar by an akum, because of the circumstances in which many times the akum came into possession of the property from the Jew. So therefore they have no chazaka in this case. If they have no chazaka, then you, as another party, is coming on his behalf to make a claim. You can't use a chazaka either. So Amar Rava, V'amar Yisrael didi Amar li akum deminach zavno. Right? Then if the Jew says, listen, I bought it from you, I was there, and the akum says, I bought it from Reuven. Tony says, I bought it from Reuven. So then we believe him. Why? Mi ika mi de dilu akum amar, right? Lo mehemen vilo amar Yisrael b'shmei de akum mehemen. Wait a minute, that makes no sense. If the akum came along and said, I bought it from Reuven, Tony says I bought it from Reuven, we wouldn't believe him. He needs a shtar. So now all of a sudden you're going to say that there's a Shimon comes along and says, Tony told me he bought it from Reuven, we're going to believe him. Why? Because he has amigo. His amigo, they could have said that Shimon can say, I bought it directly from Reuven. So since he said, I could have bought it directly from Reuven, right? If he says, Tony says, I bought it from Reuven, he's believed. But wait a minute, his old claim is, there's no real claim. Tony's not believed that he bought it from Reuven. Why should Shimon be believed to say that Tony bought it from Reuven? Doesn't help you over here. Elam Rava, this is the case. I was there when Tony bought it from you, Reuven. Then he sold it to me, Mehemet. Then he's believed. Why? Migo, did you buy Armalay? Anazavinta Minach. Because there he has a real Migo. He said, I bought it directly from you, Reuven. He could have left the Akum out entirely. But when he says, I was physically there and I saw that Tony bought it from Reuven, then that's enough of a claim that is believed in that case. So that's a good question. Look down at the bottom of the Rashbam. It's the bottom of Lamed Hamud Bet, the last three lines of the Rashbam. He says, Aval, Itani Yisrael, the Jew comes along and says, Yehavli ha'u akum shtar zvini. He handed me the contract. Tony handed me the contract that he bought from Reuven to Zabna Minach. Veriti bosh lekach mehemen. Then he's believed. The dami the manda amale. Kamedi di Zabna ha'uk akum minach. The maskina the command mehemen amigo. Di barulei minach. Zaman tava chal teshnei chazaka. Because the amigo further on, he's believed. Vedafka ba machmad akum. Tila ba machmad Yisrael.
Right.
Right. As long as he says, right, the second party, the new party, the new Jew says that I was there for 3 years and I have a chazakah, plus he says that the previous Jew sold it to me, had one day there, that's enough. So what you're asking, and in our case too, is that the new Jew, Shimon, has to have lived there for 3 years and then say that I saw the transaction take place. Exactly. So in order for him to be able to say, I bought it, he has to have a chazakah himself. So if he has a chazak himself, and he either says, I saw the shtar mechira between Tony and Reuven, or I saw the transaction between Tony and Reuven, that is sufficient in order to have him have amigo and to establish the case over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.